All right, all good. Nice. How's everybody doing tonight? Really lively crowd. Awesome. Thanks for coming in. Can't wait to do this. Well, I'm Dustin Zahn, and this is Trainwrex. For this episode, we're coming to you from the SoundCloud headquarters here in Berlin. And for the first time, we're doing this live in front of an audience, which is, it's awkward as shit, but I think it's going to be all right. We're all friends up here, so it'll be fun. Tonight's kind of a special one. We're celebrating the 10-year anniversary of Fitiz, which is a record label, clothing brand, and more from Zippo. And I'm going to let him chat about that in a minute, but I just want to introduce tonight's guests first off. What I'm going to have to do is just pass the mic down. Well, we'll start with you, Wes. Yeah. So we're going to start with Steffi first. Yep, here we go. There you go.
Thanks, Dustin. Hi, my name's Stephanie, and yeah, what do you want to know?
Where are you from? Like, there's a lot of people I listen that kind of know techno, but not really. What are you up to? What are you releasing on? Stuff like that.
Okay, so I'm British, living in Berlin. I've released on Full Panda, 4/7, Soma, SNTS Records, Fitiz.
Nice. And I apologize, 5 minutes ago I called her Scottish, which is not the best move. And then how about Melvin over here?
Melvin, I'm from France. Been making music, right? Yes, Casual Treatment. Been making music for 10 years, or producing for 10 years, released on Mord Records, Token, Fitiz for this compilation, and yeah, some others.
Awesome. What about you? We got it done. All right, Zippo, introduce yourself.
That's my time. Well, I'm Zippo. This is quite of a special day for me because, first of all, thank you for being here and taking the time for being here. It's quite of a special day, and it's kind of like full circle moment for me to be in SoundCloud, where I have the feeling my journey started. I feel like I'm part of one of those kids who made it through this platform somehow. And having the chance to be here today, it's quite of a unique moment. We're celebrating the 10th anniversary of my label, which also was opened and started in Berlin around 10 years ago. And we have released a special box, which I curated and mixed, including 41 tracks. I'm happy to have at this table with me artists and people I not only respect and consider friends, but also like amazing producers and musicians. So I really invite you to go check out what's out and the mix, and take your time. It's quite of a long one. I hope you don't get bored. This 41 tracks is quite a lot. But I had the feeling I really needed to say a lot, and for that I needed a lot of music. Thank you, Dustin, for doing this live. I mean, we know each other since a while, but I feel like we never really been on camera together, which is kind of awkward.
I don't think we have. It's very awkward. I've known him since he was a teenager.
Yeah.
And
underage.
Underage, for sure. It's wild now. I mean, he's like, get me to come and do this crazy thing. And before, we were just hanging out in Italy, going to these crazy sunrise parties and stuff. And now we're in an office building. All right, so tell us, you mentioned the compilation, 41 tracks. Name every single one of them right now. No, but what's about? Like, any theme or anything?
Yeah, I mean, like, I like being very eclectic and collect different music. Therefore, I decided to collect as many music as I could from producers I would play more often in the past couple of years. It took around 1 year to compile the mix and go through the whole process, selecting, making sure the masters are ready and agreed from the producers, as well as don't misspell words or names on the artwork and all of that boring stuff. But we even we had to work on that, and it takes time. But beside that, the compilation itself goes through ranges quite a lot, from techno to electro to more deeper and Detroitish to house and more ambient stuff, which is what I would listen at home at least. So it's been quite of a journey, and I feel like today I could finally detach from it. So now it's yours. Go dig it.
All right, awesome. And then also down in the showroom here, there's a bunch of apparel, clothing on hand. Can you just briefly talk about that quick?
Yeah, so I've been involved in passively in clothing because around 12 years ago, me and my brother opened a concept store before I was moving to Berlin, and we still work together throughout this time. And for this special occasion, I didn't just want to make the usual merch that everybody does, which is technically printing on blanks. But I had lucky of knowing and working along pattern makers and people who are like pretty much into designing and so manufacturing. So everything has been made in Italy, but it's not really like I'm here to raise that flag. It's more like it's where everything started and where my connections are. And it was quite of a journey, thanks to obviously very knowledgeable people. We designed a bunch of stuff from t-shirt to more, let's say, complicated items like pants and vests. But particularly the idea was to have a badge that could represent the label and also not feel like just any merch, but still giving his utility. So this badge represents a 7-inch adapter made of aluminum, same aerospace grade. So it's quite solid and you can like just easily pull off and use it. You can either, it can either come handy if you're digging records or just like leave it at home. So I had the feeling like we still needed to be connected through music, and everything that's been designed took inspiration from the geometry of records and music. And in the future, the idea will be to expand this into more of like a utility wear inspired from technicians and like people working behind the events, photographer, video makers, artists, whatever. So yeah, that was that's the goal. But we're kicking it off with a small amount of pieces for the anniversary, and then let's see where it takes us.
Congratulations. It's a ton of work, man. Awesome.
It's been a busy year.
Nice. Well, we're celebrating here tonight. We got a few people with us. Let's just jump right into it, right? I'm gonna start off on an easy one. One of the number one questions I get asked all the time, whether it's people visiting Berlin, whether it's people in other cities, well, actually, no. The number one question would be like if there was guest lists left for Berghain. But the number two question would definitely be if they should move to Berlin. And I mean, looking around here, there's definitely a lot of us. There's some locals that I know for sure, but a lot of us here are not from Berlin. We all came at various times. I came 14 years ago. Somehow still here, and I like it. But what I want to know is what your guys' opinion is. Like, is it still important to move here? How do you feel about it? You know, tell me about that. Let's start with you, Alvin.
I mean, important for me, what's important is how you feel in your life and in the city, in the community around you. So, like, if you think that you belong here and the vibe of the city attracts you, then, I mean, go for it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it. Like, for example, if you're a person that says yes to a lot of things, it doesn't matter if it's Berlin or, you know, Portugal is the big one right now, or whether you want to go to classic ones like New York or something, saying yes to a lot of things is going to entirely enrich your wherever you go with this stuff. So if you're a person that's kind of like a hermit that likes to stay inside and all that, which I get it, I'm kind of like that too, it's obviously going to make it a little worse. But I mean, would you think that, well, I think it's still affordable than most capital cities, but I mean, do you feel like it's like the artistic creative class is getting priced out?
I mean, no, as you say, for like a big European capital, I think it's still much cheaper than whatever, Amsterdam, Paris, London. So it's still affordable, but for sure it became, like since COVID, I think like everywhere in Europe, a lot of inflation, so it's harder, but still like...
For sure.
It's like that's what attracted me at first for the city, is that there's stuff going on all the time, but you also have space compared to like London, Paris, etc., where it's super like overcrowded to my taste.
Yeah.
So yes, it became more expensive, the flat in particulars, groceries and stuff, but I mean, it's still doable, I think, with the...
So between the three of you, like, obviously there's the allure of, it was techno what brought you here, or like the dance music, the nightlife, that kind of thing?
Well, yeah, I'm a little bit of a raver, so... I was coming to Berlin a long time before I moved here, actually. Now that I live here, I'm the most boring Berliner ever. So
that's how it works out.
I don't even leave the house. But yeah, no, I go in, I fall in and out of love with the city. I like to complain about it, but actually whenever I get back after a long weekend, I'm like, yes, I'm back in B-Town, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, aside from the weather, it's pretty good.
The weather's questionable, but there's some other cities that are just equally as bad. So I let that part kind of go. But I mean, like, so, and I know Zippo, you kind of moved here just to see what life could bring if you try to get into the DJ stuff and making music and just being around and hanging out, right? But like, when you get off the plane and you come here, or the train or whatever, like, I think everybody's just kind of completely blown away by like the buzz of the city and like how the weekends seemingly never end, and there's always just new people to meet every weekend, and everything's so exciting and everybody's completely ridiculous, which makes it fascinating, right? And like, you could, it doesn't go super far, but it goes surprisingly far for quite a while. Do you still get that buzz when you walk out in the city, like a nice summer night and Berlin's going, you feel like, yeah, this is Berlin? Or do you feel like you've been around enough and you don't feel that as much anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I moved here 10 years ago, so I'm at the stage where I do have to complain regardless. So it still gives me a lot of opportunities. I still, many times I question this myself, but then I'm like, okay, cool, where do you go then? And Berlin still wins. So I have the feeling it's still like the right city where a lot of things are happening. I'm not a social animal, but beside that, I still feel quite accomplished from small things that the city can offer. And I still feel like we have great curation of record stores. There is a lot happening in art still. What I'm missing more, it's like week time events. Like this one tonight, I feel like everything became pretty much money driven. So any kind of event in the city got super expensive, or it's not really like a money thing. It's more the fact that everything is working for a specific purpose, and which always will lead to perhaps making money, selling drinks, whatever. So that's something I miss the most, like going to a random place and see a really big artist just improvising with his modular set, for instance, you know. I mean, this thing still happens. I'm not saying it doesn't, but it's like a little bit less than when I moved here. I don't know if it's me that I'm getting less excited and I just like enjoy time home compared to 6-7 years ago, but that's what I see. It's changing a little bit of the city, but yeah, I can't complain for the rest.
Yeah, you two got some opinions?
I agree with you. I also think some time ago when I arrived in Berlin, there were more like free events, workshops. I remember doing a production workshop with the Kamika Space Program in Neukölln, Tasha also. Like there was this kind of stuff very regularly, I feel. And I also think it's less now, or, you know, it's, I guess, more now online masterclasses, paid stuff, etc. But you then miss this like meeting new people and community. You just like go online and pay for your whatever producer's masterclass and probably try and copy whatever. But yeah, like I think it's true that that's missing nowadays a bit, and it's more like, but at the same time also like the art stuff, like Dark Matter, there's so many great art exhibition and that's very interesting, but it's also getting more and more expensive to do this kind of stuff. So
yeah, it's definitely get out of control. In fact, I want to talk about that in a little bit here. One thing I want to work on talking about, so obviously social media is a big deal right now. It has been for a decade. In fact, a lot of times when people, you know, you talk to a lot of people, artists are like, well, I didn't sign up for the social media game and blah, 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 which is also me. I agree. I'm terrible at it. But we're actually now technically at a point where social media has been part of this sort of microcosm of the music industry longer than it hasn't, which is pretty interesting. So it's like, I don't think that really holds up anymore. Like, obviously I'm old, so I could say stuff like that, but some of these younger people like that, that's part of the job. Like, you gotta show up and do it. But that being said, like, I still think releasing music, new music, is like one of the most important things we can do. And as I talk to a lot of people these days, they say that, oh, it doesn't matter anymore. It's all about your Instagram reach or putting up the right photos and blah, blah, blah. And to be honest, a lot of that shit works really well. But at the end of the day, it's like, what happens 10 years from now? That's all of this evidence posting up an Instagram story of tonight. That'll be gone in 24 hours, much less. So it's like, we need to kind of cultivate the scene and, you know, continue this heritage of sorts like that. I think music is more important than ever, especially when the appreciation for art's kind of waning. Everything's getting content driven.
I mean, when I started DJing, we didn't even have phones. So, no, but there's only so many selfies you can put out there, you know? I mean, the music content that I put out, it gets like zero likes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth though. It's like, on one hand, you can only put out so many selfies, right? But if we're sitting here on the stage and we put on a selfie right now, and then on a story, and then the next story is like, I got this track on the new Fittest compilation. Which story you think is gonna do better? It's definitely gonna be the selfie, which is absurd, even though we have like really cool art to share with everybody. So the algorithm is kind of against you. I think that, yeah, it feels like kind of defeatist, especially if you're not a extrovert or you're not comfortable on a camera or a microphone or anything like that. But I think it's more important than ever.
I mean, I really respect artists like Helena Hauff, who doesn't have an Instagram, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. You got to take a stance early on if you're going to be that kind of person. You know, like, for example, like, Devious One, Zach, he's an old friend of mine. He said at some point, okay, no more video. And aside from a couple panels, he really meant it, you know? And I'm sure there's circumstances where he was at parties. He's like, I probably wish I could have seen some evidence or whatever. That's cool. But like when you say no video, you mean no video and you stick to it. And then there's the opposite end of it. I think it's really cool to, like there was a Planetary Assault Systems live set. I was like, yeah, I'll click on that shit, you know, on YouTube, see what's going on. So it's cool to have that stuff. I'm not completely anti-photos or videos, you know? I think it's important to make sure it's not the only aspect of this scene.
I mean, like you said, is the what should be at the front is the music. And unfortunately, in a lot of cases, it's not the case. I mean, because of the algorithm and like some people, they started playing 2 years ago and because they like learn the game of the social media, then, you know, they get booked everywhere, whatever. But
absolutely,
there's also, you see, no really love for music. It's just like a ego driven or, you know, just wanting to be out there. And there's no like a research in like music. And so that's the sad part of it. But yeah, of course you have to, I mean, a balance, but it's just sad to see that it's becoming more and more about this than about the music, I think.
It is, but at the same time, it's like I think about people who I really respect, you know, like, you know, for example, like I really like Alton Boss. He's a friend of mine. And I was talking to him and he's like, man, you know, like I had to put out 5 records in a year for people to like be like, oh shit, who's this guy? And now like he's doing really well. So it's like, I think, you know, you don't have to go through these hoops of doing, I don't even want to put people down that do some of these techniques to get booked, but he's just like, I'm going to try and put out great records one after another and see what happens. And, you know, he's hitting the road. It's awesome. He's doing really well with it. And I think that's like an important thing to remember is like, it's totally possible to succeed, but like you kind of got to work your ass off, and putting out one record and expecting to tour on it for a year just isn't happening anymore. I got a taste of that and I can tell you it's really awesome if you like to be lazy, but you can't be lazy anymore. You got to do the work.
Yeah, I thought we were here for the social, but actually, I don't know. But no, I do have an opinion in the sense that when I started making music, I come from a very small town. There wasn't really like a techno scene there, so social media did actually help at the time. But things are changing quickly in the short term due to social media, but this won't necessarily mean you will build a career around it. And it depends also how you approach art and how you choose to be an artist or make music. I feel like if you make music, you got something to say beside the whole social media bubble, and you shouldn't be having that win over to you. It's quite easy to say, I know this, but on the other hand, we should also like try to stick to our sort of like ideals and like try to hit that record at some point.
I mean, my agency are always going on at me saying, Steph, you need to engage more with your fan base. And, you know, but I come from a time where if you were a good DJ, that was enough. You know, if you were writing music, that was enough. Like, for me, I don't want people seeing like my personal life. And I don't know, I kind of want to keep that private a little bit. So I do struggle a little bit with social media.
Totally respectable. Like, I mean, you know, when I was growing up, we still read magazines and shit like that about bands and rappers and stuff that were coming out. And, you know, it was all, as time goes on and you find out later on the internet, bullshit. It's all pretty much made up. But it was fun to read about, like, fake beefs or whatever, you know. And you just only could rely on what was going on and you had to make up the rest in your head. And then fuck him because he's been a bad boy. But like, I remember one day that I was on the internet and, you know, this is when Twitter kind of was starting to pop off and you started learning more about people that you really didn't want to know. And it'll start recommending you things. And then it said, Derek May likes Axe deodorant. And I'm like, dude, I didn't need to know this about this guy, man. This is absurd. And then you start to realize, like, this is actually the beginning of all of it. Like, you can find out so much about people, what they follow, what they're into. They post pictures of their coffee. If they're on vacation, they'll let you know because you're going to see the pool, like, all that stuff. And I'm guilty of that, too, 100%. But it really kind of became more about trying to project everything that you're up to versus just the art. And don't get me wrong, some of that's really fun to see. I can't hate on that, especially when it's a little more messy or whatever. But yeah, I get it. It's tough to find the balance with all that. I want to move on, though. I want to talk about more specifically modern techno crowds, but it could apply to dance music in general. But do you think that crowds right now are like maybe a little too narrow-minded or focused on subgenres? Like, for example, 25 years ago, it was like super normal for a DJ in a single set to play a Detroit record, a Regis record, a Marco Carolla record, hard sell, whatever, all of these things like in one set and kind of make it work, and it's somehow funky, dark, weird, heavy, whatever. And then today, when you go to see a DJ, more often than not, it's like super specific. Like, I focus on deep techno. I'm a tribal house guy. I'm a, you know, trance, techno, whatever person. It's like so ultra specific. What are your thoughts on that? Like, is it too much? Is it a good thing? Or?
Well, as a DJ, I love telling a story, right? So I like to play in a collective of sounds. So I actually find it a little bit boring if you get a little bit too linear with your sound. But I don't know, maybe that just comes from experience.
Yeah, Melvin, would you shaking your head no?
I feel the same, like in particular for long sets, for example, at Bergen, when you hear an artist that plays 4 hours of the same subgenre, it gets very quickly boring, you know? Like, and that's in particular for longer sets, the occasion to present all your influences, tell a story, and go through different shades of techno or even electronic music. So I do feel that, yes.
But it feels like it's a little rewarded these days, right? Like it really, because it's not just about music and DJs and stuff, but like, for example, I used to be a sneakerhead, I'm not anymore. It gets out of control and expensive and all that. But like, it was kind of easy to get stuff, and then it's more specific. And then if you're into coffee, it's not enough to be into coffee. All of a sudden you got to have like this expensive burr grinder and like all this shit. Like everybody's getting so hyper-focused on doing whatever it is they're into and doing it with passion, which on one hand is pretty cool, but on the other hand, it gets ultra annoying real quickly when everybody's doing it, right?
Yeah, and like doing only one thing, like I just said, it's good to be open to other things, even if you're interested in something specific or a specific kind of music. I went to Basilar 2 weeks ago. Steve Bignell played Back to the Party's Other Alias set, and he played every like acid techno, breakbeats, disco, etc. And like people were like hating. Exactly. Like it's a techno festival, I have to hear disco, you know? And I was like, it's supposed to be a festival with open-minded people and stuff. And even there, a lot of people were complaining, which I was surprised about.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a good point, because it's like, on one hand, there's a lot of people who are really into this open-minded format, like in America especially. You see a lot of DJs now coming out of New York, Canada, whatever, where they really want to play everything. They want to play acid house. There's maybe like a trancey kind of track. There's a, you know, Berlin techno track. There's just whatever, breakbeats, which is cool. I think sometimes the problem is people, when you don't specialize in something, like I was just, you know, talking shit about, you kind of become a jack of all trades and master of none. And I see a lot of that happening. Because when I bring up this topic, they're like, yeah, well, what about Ben UFO and so-and-so? And I'm like, hey, there are people that do this really well, but there's a lot that don't also, you know. But your label, Zippo, you've been doing a lot of eclectic shit, right? I mean, what's your opinion?
Pretty much. I feel like that's how I like to express myself more. I was about to say, I'm the subgenre guy for instance, but beside that, I feel very uncomfortable to play long sets and stick to one thing. I get bored pretty quickly, and I would like to share with people what's in my bag and what's been my collection since I do this. I have the feeling it's also like our responsibility to show people our background and not just stick to what's in the trends today. Because like when you see a full room and a packed room, you do have to deliver. But on the other hand, you also have to be like, I want to show you music you probably thought you're not going to like, but it's not you just don't like the music, it's just you don't know it. I know this might sound quite ego-ish, but on the other hand, I have the feeling like this is the only way and the only chance we have to transmit our background to people. And you don't want to do that just with a podcast. You have to do it in front of like a busy room.
I mean, you could do with all formats there too. That's the thing. You know, like for example, a lot of people like harp on the younger or newer generation and say like they're only into like TikTok, techno or fast shit or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, some of that is true. But a lot of people are, they're down for really cool stuff. They just need to be introduced to it. You know, like I did a lot radio mix recently, not to blow up my own shit, but like from like a lot of it was 130 BPM. I say half of it was old tracks from like 2012, 2014. Actually, it looks like everybody here is pretty young. I was going to see if anybody was hitting the Berlin clubs around that time, but I'm aging myself out. Anyway, and then there was like a few new tracks and stuff, and people were writing like, what is this? And I'm like, this was a typical Friday night in Berlin 10 years ago, you know? And but they're into it. They just need to be introduced, you know? So I think that's the important part. And going back to my question, I think it's also important to like take the risks and not just feel like you have to play something from the three best labels of that particular subgenre. You know, like it's okay to really show some range. Speaking of that, though, I want to know, because we haven't really done talking about you individually, but what kind of mood or vibe are you trying to exude when you DJ or you're working on your productions? Like what would define you? What do you want to be known for? Start with you, Zippo.
That's a good question, but quite tough. I want people to be pleased to listen to my music. I want to be able to transmit people that I can guide you through a journey whenever I'm DJing, and I'll try to not play too loud, not play too fast. I just want people to get cozy and listen and get into it. So I feel like this takes a bit of time, but it's the same reason why I do like to play long sets, because I can tell a bit more about myself. And I really aim to be the person who's releasing those transitional tracks, because I do like making moody songs and tracks. And I really like that approach when I'm in the studio, because I feel like that's always what I miss in my collection. It's like tracks that can lead me from techno to house to electro, the other way around.
Stephanie?
Hello, hello. I would describe myself, well, actually, it's a difficult question to answer because it depends on my mood. One day I can love something and the next day be totally over it. So I would say that whatever I play, I'm in the moment and trying to deliver the best version of myself whilst trying to connect with the people that are around me. So it's, yeah.
What would you say about like right now though, where you're like, this is, like when you show up, you said you're going to Glasgow tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. Like what, like when you show up, like what do you want to give them?
Glasgow like it a little bit like, you know.
Little kick in the ass. Let's go. That's true. They're badly behaved kids out there, aren't they? It's true. Like I really like playing out there because it's just fucking naughty.
I'd say one thing, like throughout my experience being a DJ and having different residencies in different countries, I mean, I will change and alter what I'm delivering for that particular crowd, but always stay within, you know, be authentically myself. So that could be like, if I'm playing in Berlin, I know that I can play really deep and, you know, melodic or nostalgic. And if I'm playing in the UK, I know that I have to give it a little bit more something, you know?
Yeah. It is interesting, right? You know, like, especially Spain also, they're kind of like, come on, let's go, show me something. Yeah.
They love it old school. Like,
It's really interesting, you know, like certain countries, you really get away with things more than others. Germany is super fascinating. Like, here's the thing, like, okay, again, if you're, you know, maybe someone sitting in the audience now and then you're going to break in the next 18 months or something and then you hit the road, that's awesome, I'm happy for you. You kind of just start these days you could hit big parties real quickly. I came from America. When I came over here at first, you don't just only play like these A-list gigs every night. Like, well, tonight's Awakenings, tomorrow's Fabric, the next night's Berghain or whatever. Those things are sprinkled in, but you gotta like cut your teeth doing a lot of these sort of weird regional gigs and pick up stuff. Now that I look back at it, I've been very fortunate. At the time, maybe I wouldn't have said so much stuff, but I played up and down Germany so much. I've been to so many small towns, big towns, you name it. And I've had a lot of incredible nights, some terrible ones too, for sure. But like, it's interesting because there's things that you can get away with in Germany that I'm like, okay, I think I've leveled up tonight, and then I'm gonna take this to, doesn't matter, Paris tomorrow or back to the United States, and it falls flat. Like, it's just so terrible. Like, every place is kind of different. It's super interesting. So that being said, I want to talk about the future partying a little bit. I read an article recently, drinking for Generation Z, and I don't know what the generation is below it. I'm sorry. It's down 60%, which is bad news for clubs. For those who don't know, roughly how it goes is when, especially if there's third-party promoters, they say, I want to book Zippo and Steffi and Casual Treatment, and we're going to go till 6 a.m. or something. You're like, okay, great, you get the door, or at least most of it, and we're taking the bar. Problem is, drinks down 60%, right? People are doing other shit. They're getting into designer drugs. They're staying healthy. The addictions move to screen time. Yeah, all kinds of different things. We're already seeing a period where ticket prices in Berlin, 25, 30 euros to get into a party, whereas before, like 25 or 30 euros would get you into like 5 parties in a night, right? So it's really changing quite a bit. How are these clubs going to stay afloat as things go on?
I can take this. I mean, I never been a promoter myself. I think this is the first time I'm hosting some sort of event. So I'm really bad with math when it comes to that. But I do believe there is something changing within the new generation, and we should just like try to blend in with it. I'm not opposed to sober party or whatever. I wouldn't be the guy encouraging people or like just like give it by law that we're not serving drinks and such. But to be honest, I feel like people can still enjoy an environment until 6 a.m. beside the whole party thing. I made a huge post that went kind of viral about soft clubbing and this whole new sort of like trend, and apparently this has been categorized as such, but I've been a soft clubber myself for my entire life, and I don't want to be called such. But I do think there's still room for people to enjoy the music, and if we really have to take care of that, this should still be our somehow like job and ambition to like still go there, deliver, play a good set. And promoters will figure out, because these are just like business people after all.
Okay, so it's up to promoters to figure it out. That's what you're saying. By the way, you know, he did make this post like a week and a half ago about soft clubbing, whether it's good or not. I don't remember what the post was about, but I did read it. And then literally the next morning, I went to a coffee shop that I hit up, Atelier Dove, shout out, they have great donuts. I went in there and there's a DJ and they're giving out like free kombucha and donuts and shit. I'm like, whoa, this is one of the things that he was talking about here. So I went from never doing it to apparently being involved in it. No, I mean, to reiterate, I don't have anything against sober raving or people switching their vices. It's more just like ticket prices are already higher than ever. How are these clubs and promoters going to stay afloat if there's no other revenue streams coming in?
But like, where are you getting these statistics from? Because I'm British and I'm pretty sure everyone's still heavily drinking over there, so.
Yeah, but the British and the Scottish, they're all, like I said, badly behaved people. It's very true. But like, I, you know, like, to be honest, in Minneapolis, we do parties and raves and stuff, and we do have a bar for the years we didn't, and I'm looking at the numbers with my partners and I'm like, what the hell's going on with these numbers? They're down. Like, you know, it used to be the basic math could be like, okay, each head, two drinks a head. If you have, let's say, 400 people, 800 drinks at the bar, and then that's spaced out over the money. And then all of a sudden you realize there's maybe a quarter of that, and you're like, what's going on? Is there, like, is a bartender screwing off? Do we not have enough stuff? Is there a bottleneck? And then you realize, like, oh, no, actually people are drinking a far lot less than they used to. Which is, I mean, let's be honest, cool. You know, I've grown up in a time and I've grown up around people who, like, I got into this to be sort of a degenerate. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, you know, a lot of people that got into this, it's to have fun and be a man child or a woman child for God knows how long. So there's nothing wrong with it, but it's changing for sure.
I think everyone's been listening too much to the Diary of a CEO personally, because he's always putting out these podcasts about how bad alcohol is for you and this and that and everything. So yeah, maybe that's had it.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely can be bad. You know, like, I, to be perfectly honest, I have addiction in my family, and I'm sure probably most of the people here do too. I think it's also not something to be completely shy of. Not saying people should go out and do it, but it's definitely interesting, and I'm curious to see how it's going to impact clubbing, because nobody's really talking about it now. But it's going to become a big issue if this trend continues, for sure. You got something, Alvin?
Yeah. I mean, for sure, like, you know, alcohol, as not to promote it, but, you know, when you're drunk, I think it's helped a lot of people, or made a lot of people be able to, like, talk to strangers in club and do great encounters. So that's one thing to consider, and to come back to, like, how it's affecting clubs. Maybe one thing is like going back to more local scene, local DJ, to, like, push instead of only booking big names, and have to increase more and more ticket sales. And
it's interesting you brought up, like, the local scene and trying out different things. This is actually completely off topic, but it's worth doing. Like, so now the idea is, like, I need to get an agent, and once I get an agent, I'm going to be, like, a big fucking deal, which turns out that's not the case by any chance. But it used to be, especially, like, in the 80s and 90s, for people who were in the live music scene, like, you just do a van tour, you know? Like, you start calling everybody, you do networking, and, like, you're like, I'm going to be out on the West Coast for 3 weeks. What can we get going? And they're like, I got a buddy that might give you, you could crash on his floor and $200 or whatever. And then you kind of start building it up. And really, that doesn't matter now, but a lot of those people ended up becoming, like, some of the biggest bands and singers of this time. And I really wouldn't be surprised if something like that starts happening again, especially as air flights for planes go up. These bigger clubs are just going to take less risks and force, you know, rely on bigger names. I wouldn't doubt seeing a DIY scene, like, come back full force. It might not, but it wouldn't surprise me in the least bit. That being said, I want to know is, do you think people forget to have fun? Meaning, like, for example, like, we all get a little older, and as you take an account of everything, like, especially if you're really industry focused and you're like, I really want to make it as a producer, I want to make it as a DJ or whatever, or doesn't matter, an agent, a manager, like, you're so focused on the success that you're like, you freak up to have fun. And then me being 41 now, I look back at things and I start thinking about it, and I'm like, I think a lot of the nights that maybe they're really just lame nights, but some of the most fun I've ever had. And it's because you remember that over the night that, like, someone agreed to book you at their big ass festival or something like that, which was fun and maybe it catapults you to a new level. But
Do you think it's important to remember to have fun? Like, it sounds stupid, but.
Yes, I think, I mean, said like this, it does sound stupid, but I agree that a lot of people are more and more like career, let's say, focused. And like as producers, some, you know, they try so hard and they end up repeating themselves. And then when you like forget to like have social experience, just, you know, meet new people, go out, I think that helps refresh your brain and change your perspective and give you new ideas, maybe about music or just, you know, life in general. So I think it's important to remember, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, like I think the important part to remember is like what interests you in all of this. Like if you, for example, we're talking about the club scene now, you go for your first few times and you meet some like, you find there's like everybody knows the one guy that ends up running around with his shirt off because he's a drunk idiot or something like that. Like there's always those characters in nightlife. And if you are listening to this, that means there's probably a good chance that you have got involved to that messy part of nightlife at some point. And basically you got to chase that a little bit, you know, like you don't want to get too complacent or sit there and be like, I better behave because like I need to try and secure whatever goal that like goals are good, but like half the reason this industry exists and this music is to have fun. And like, it's supposed to be colorful and playful and a little bit like combative and stuff like that. And it just, it's nowadays it feels like everybody's going to the pool and everybody's sitting on the edge of the pool and looking at each other a little bit and judging and nobody's swimming. People got to swim more, you know? No, Ed, does he got anything to say for, or am I on my own here?
To be honest, man, I'm feeling so grateful and lucky, like to be able to do this. I moved to Berlin for a reason. I made music before moving to Berlin. I make music for a living, and it's kind of like it's been my dream forever. So I'm beyond grateful for that, and I'm literally enjoying every moment. So for me, like, I do have a lot of fun still making this, and I have tried different, of course, like ways and teams, because sometimes you feel like your clock is not really functioning very well, but on the other hand, you also have to make sure that you're surrounded by people that can somehow also like give you and feed you with a lot of energy. And this city and music itself is just like giving me a lot of that, so I feel like pretty happy. And whenever I'm in the studio, I don't really feel like I'm having a bad day. I mean, I can have a bad track, but not a bad day. So beside that, I'm really like honoring this journey as much as I can.
I agree. And by the way, how many releases are you up to on this label now?
I don't know. I think this is the 34th or 35th release, together with the whole catalogs and sub-catalogs.
It's a success.
Yeah.
Like there's so many labels that never make it past 001 or 2. In fact, so many times, like over the years, when you get records, when you buy them or people give them to you, the best packaging you'll ever see on a record is the first or second record of a label, because they have all these ambitions. And then after that, it's like a paper sleeve if you're lucky or something. But at first you're just like, wow, this is incredible. Incredible packaging. Exactly. Yeah. I got one more question, quick one, and then we're going to do the lightning round and then the bar opens back up. So, what's the key to successful collaborations? Whether it's production, DJing, you name it.
You have a collab on you on the Fidesz compilation, so.
Yeah, I kind of forced them to do.
All right, so before, what's the track name? So, and who are you working with, so we know?
I don't actually know what the track name is. No, so I actually, Mark and Ben, that's, I'm sorry. These have been long-standing friends of mine back from when I was a resident at Corsica Studios, like back in 2015. And over the years, like, I have the confidence to send them music and get feedback. And I think this is really important to have like these stable, solid people around you who can motivate you, give you good advice, bad advice, constructive advice. And yeah, there was one track in particular that they took an interest in and was like, yeah, we can see this going somewhere. And I was like, great, you know, and that's how that collaboration happened for me. But yeah, I mean, I think it's important to collaborate. It's something that I'm working on, but I'm also feel like it steps me out of my comfort zone because I'm at home writing music in my home studio and, you know, just doing my own thing. And to work with other people, I don't know, it can be a little bit daunting sometimes.
It can be, for sure. Definitely when people, like, I've worked with people that are way above my pay grade. I'm like, realistically, this is outside of the techno realm because I also write in other genres and stuff too, like Grammy winners and stuff. Like, I don't know why I'm in the room with this person. But it really doesn't matter about the skill level. It matters about the vibe that you can bring to the table.
Trying to have fun, staying creative, you know. Yeah, there are no limitations in music, so.
I mean, the other nice part about collaborations is you don't have to do as much work. That's the best part, I would say, in fact.
That is true.
For me, it's also when you're in the studio with someone that you appreciate, or just, you know, as you say, it can be completely different levels even, but you feed each other's energy, you know. And usually I work way faster when I'm with someone else because, like, I think less about, like, tweaking a sound for 1.5 hours, or, you know, you go and you have two brains to, like, decide is this good, is this or not. Yeah. And yeah,
it's interesting for sure. In fact, you know, what was the track name, Stephanie?
The track name is What Remains, and I hope that's right.
It is, all right. I might have said it publicly or not, I don't know. Like, I've been in the studio with Melvin a bit, like, what, 3 or 4 sessions at least now? And we had two or three things that are going, which are pretty nice, and then we kind of fell off, which admittedly is my part. I want to bring this up live, though, because I think it's important to talk about. Like, we were in the studio and it was going well, and we recorded so much stuff just jamming, right? And I think at some point, we're just fucking around and jamming too much. We had a lot of cool things. She should have been like, no, hold that. This is what we're chasing, right? Because there was a point where you just have all this stuff and you're like, it could be this. What about that? You know, like, everybody's scatterbrained. And I think anybody that's listening that's kind of feeling that they're in the same boat, once you land on something, just expand on that. Maybe that's what we got to do when we get back in the studio.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, also spending all day recording stuff, you know, that can always be used, or...
It's also the most fun.
Exactly. That's the most fun, and it can always be reused later. But as you said, like, if you want to get things done, at some point you have to say, like, what's the idea or where are we going?
Exactly. And I think when you have somebody else in the room, you get nervous. It can be like, oh, we gotta make it better. We gotta add something else. But, like, if you were on your own, you'd be like, no, this is a cool loop. Let's see where let's chase this. Let's break through some walls and then, but we're just having fun fucking around. And sometimes that's all you need to do too. That's way more fun. But
yeah, I love collaborating with people. I mean, I've always done a lot of collaboration myself. I'm not that gatekeeper kind of producer who's like, I don't want to show you how I do this. I don't want to tell you what's the plugin, what's this, what's that. Like, I never really cared. At the end of the day, what matters is, like, are you going to be able to somehow translate that with an audience? So the collaborating actually has helped me to learn music way more, because, like, in my case, I'm not a musician and I'm often working with musicians. So for me, it's literally like a masterclass every time. And if ever I could advise somebody, it's always like, try to work with people you think are more skilled than you, because it's quite of an amazing learning experience and process, because if you end up being on a record with somebody who has a lot of experience, it's not gonna take only one session. So that means you will have more and more and more time to know this person and know a whole new workflow. I used to hate doing arrangements, and now that's what everybody asks me to do when we call up on a track. So
there you go. I understand how attention spans work. I don't really have one, so I'm gonna wrap it up. I'm gonna do a quick lightning round, though. A couple dumb, in fact, do a handful of really dumb questions, just to kind of lighten the spirit, and then to move on, open up the bar, and get moving. I'm gonna ask a question, give you an answer, then just pass the mic down, and then pass it along. All right. First one: Aphex Twin or Autechre?
Dustin Zahn.
Aphex Twin or Autechre? Yes, same one.
I thought I was getting a different question. Come on.
I didn't write that many. I threw this shit together. Come on.
I mean, both. I can't choose.
All right. That's very diplomatic of you.
I know more about Aphex Twin personally, but I, of course, love Autechre as well.
Man, nobody's willing to really take a side on this, huh? We'll do an easier one then. We'll start with you. You pass it down this way. Best hangover food. Come on, bud. Dead air. You got nothing?
Let me think.
You got to think? All right. What's your chance?
I'm just going to put it out there. McDonald's.
Whoa. What about you, Zippo?
Gotta raise the Italian flag. Pizza. Big time.
I mean, to be honest, that's usually my go-to, my Monday night hangover meal. You got one yet?
I was going to say pasta, but pizza or burger works as well.
Yeah, but you know, like pasta you have to cook, which is fine. If you're hungover, it's hard to cook, you know, so.
I'm feeling super uncultured with my Hansen.
Yeah, I grew up on McDonald's. I'm vegetarian now, so I'm not hating. All right. Well, I don't know if this is an easier one either, but it's still just as ridiculous. Would you rather wait 2 hours in the entry line, or would you rather get a cigarette and burn on the dance floor?
Entry line.
Interesting. Okay. Stephanie?
Cigarette burn all the way.
That was?
Cigarette burn. That was
That's right. Way. I'll take the cherry any day, too. Not that I want it, but, you know. We'll do one more question. This is probably the toughest and most awkward one. Dustin's on our Zippo.
Let's play together and find out.
Yeah. Stephanie.
Zippo is my man.
Of course.
Zippo.
This episode is not being aired at all.
We're at his event. I don't want to get kicked out from here.
All right, so thank you for suffering through the awkwardness of it all. I'm going to wrap this one up. I'm going to give everyone that's up here a chance to plug anything that's going on. New releases, upcoming releases, podcasts, little tours.
I have my label as well, Treatment Records. Tomorrow, there's also the 10 years of Tommy 47's label and the last release of his, a big compilation as well. And I have an album coming up early next year.
Awesome. Nothing wrong with that. What's the track on the Tommy 47 com?
It's called Teia.
Okay. Check it out. Bandcamp, Beatport, all that shit, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Stefan?
Well, my next release is with this guy. Then I'm working on an EP for a very special label, but I don't want to talk about it too much. Then I have like an Australia tour and a South America tour coming up. So yeah, things are looking okay.
Stay tuned for those regions there. Awesome. Good to hear. You don't have anything going on, right, Zimpo? Not at all.
It's, the box is out, and one more track will be released soon. I don't know if Guille is here, but it's a collaboration track with Guille, VCO, on Tresor, coming up soon. And, a lot of more music to come on Fides and other remixes and tracks, but that's the soonest, let's say, like expect like a couple of months and it's hot.
Right on. As for myself, I did like 4 or 5 recordings, podcasts over the summer from various festivals and parties and clubs and stuff. So you can check those out if you're looking for a little DJ set for the club or if you're sitting around a table at the absolute wrong hours of the night. I also have a track on this compilation called Madness that's out now. I have one recently on Kaiser's compilation. I think you're on there as well, right?
I think we're on the same compilation.
Yes, we're on the same compilation, Stephanie. That one was called Mid-90s. And actually, I have a little 4-track EP coming out on Enemy that's like a various artist thing on Halloween called Immolation. My track is called Surrender the Body. I hope you buy it because I want to keep the label going. Aside from that, I'm sorry that, I took a little break from the podcast this summer, which was amazing because it's like, I really like doing this thing. I like chatting and hanging out. Usually when we do it over at my places, we'll do it over some wine or something, get a little loose. That part's fun, but chasing the DJs is kind of a nightmare. And it was really nice not to do that for a few months. And then Zippo, he's like,
tell me about it. Yeah, 41 artists on a
41 artists, yeah. And he's like, you want to do this? I'm like, I don't know. I think he might be done. He's like, no, let's do this. I'm glad we did it. It's a little awkward, but it's good. I think we got through this just fine. And it's kind of kicked my ass a little bit. So I got some new episodes coming up that I got to record. And as long as the DJs that I've asked actually show up, it'll be pretty awesome. So please check that out. You can check out this episode and others on all your favorite platforms, especially SoundCloud. I might need a job here soon if this doesn't work out. And follow the podcast on Instagram at trainwrecks.69. Tell a friend, like and subscribe, leave reviews, and most importantly, tell your promoter to book me because I only can do this if there's money in the bank, and if there isn't, I can't. And tell them I'm worth every penny. So thank you for coming, and I don't know. Let's open the bar up. Let's dance. Let's have a good one.
Guys.